Quick PSA, as you know, we are in a global pandemic, which has put myself and a lot of my DJ colleagues temporarily out of work. This show is completely creative expression at the same time. I am a DJ and it is my work, it is my career. So if you enjoy the show, please consider donating to @YEAFREE on Venmo or $grandeurfree on Cash App. And if you're listening on Mixcloud, there's an option to do a $5 monthly just to support and keep some gas in the tank. So thank you guys, and please enjoy the show.
Yeah, free radio.
I am from Texas, but I live in New York City now. And I was walking around in Brooklyn where I live, and I saw something. I saw a white dude getting arrested. Which it turns out is a thing that I love to see. I had no idea that was even a thing I was interested in. Like it shocked me so much that I started saying things that I'd never said before in my entire life. Like, I saw this dude being put into handcuffs and being put into the squad car, and I just heard myself go, "Hey, go police!" Like, I just shouted it at the top of my lungs like it was my favorite sports team. I was like, "Hey, go Big Blue!" Y'all killing it out there, baby. Undefeated season. Yeah.
Happy New Year. We're back. Thanks for tuning in to episode 4 of Yeah, Free Radio. My name is Free. Glad to have you guys back. Glad to be back. It's a really crazy time. It's an unprecedentedly crazy time. Is that a word? I don't know. But there's a lot happening right now. And it's a lot of really negative, just bitter, disgusting energy floating in the air. And I just wanted to come in and just sage the environment, sage the atmosphere really quick, and just put everybody in a bit of a better mood. I've been feeling bummed. I've been feeling angry. I've been feeling upset. Been feeling a lot of things, but this is my place of comfort and my place of joy. And I want to make sure that we keep this place sacred and keep this place healthy and beautiful. So I won't even entertain the nonsense. We're just going to get straight into some really good music and we're going to enjoy ourselves. I did want to give a big shout out to Georgia for doing the Lord's work. Big shout out to Stacey Abrams and all the women who contributed to bringing this win home for the American people. Anywho, for today's episode, we're chatting with one of my favorite artist. He goes by the name of Nez. He's from Chicago, and I think he's brilliant. He makes some really incredible dance music, and he's also produced some of your favorite hip-hop records. So we're gonna chat with him, and we're gonna chat with his creative director, Bobby, who's also a good friend of mine. So stick around. Right now we're gonna get into some jams I'm currently enjoying. You know the drill. So let's get into that. And stick around. This is Yeah, Free Radio. Be right back.
Yeah, Free Radio.
Yo, you are now listening to the hottest show on the land. Yeah, Free Radio. Tune in.
Welcome to the ungodly hour. Hit me with your eyes. I never seen that kind of you. You're walking over here. The way that it went down, that's when I knew. We be talking all night, but I could tell you need to work on you, 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 like you, 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 like you, like you, you be playing sweet, but baby don't you know that talk is cheap, you can't fool me, I wish that you could back it up on me, 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 like me, 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 like me, you know.
Ungodly hour.
VMA performance of The Ungodly Hour by Chloe and Halle. Followed that up with Sunshine by Salt. And right now we got Last 100 by Tom Misch and Yusuf Days off the What Kind of Music album. Right here on Yeah, Free Radio.
Yeah, Free Radio. Free Radio.
Oh,
momento te va a tomar así. Yo me voy preparando y yo pensando en ti solamente y tú pensando en mí de repente. Yeah. Dime lo que estamos haciendo. Sí, tiempo estamos perdiendo tú. O si no soy yo.
That was Sam Willis with Undercover. Sam is a very talented young singer-songwriter player. Look out for more from him. Crazy week. Crazy last 2 weeks. A lot of stuff that is crazy is happening. It seems like all the crazy things are just happening right now. It's all going off right now. But I have been making time to just like escape it all. I've been watching a lot of films. I've been watching a lot of TV shows. I just saw Minari and I really enjoyed that. That's a really beautiful movie. I would definitely encourage you to watch that. And I also saw Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and that movie blew me away. That movie is wonderful. It was Chadwick Boseman's last performance, and wow. It's a performance that's going to haunt me, but at the same time, it was really, really incredible and beautiful to witness. I would encourage you to watch those two films. And also, as you know, the Free Awards went out on January 1st. That's my favorites of the year. I just call it the Free Awards because it's my little award show from myself. And I'm glad some of you guys enjoyed the picks that I chose. If you follow me on Instagram at YEAFREE, you can go there and check out some of my picks for best films, best albums, best TV shows. And yeah, check that out. And also stick around for our chat with Nez and Bobby. For now, we're going to get back into the tunes. Coming up, we got Brigine, a duo out of the Bay. This record is called Moody. Big shout out to Brigine.
Give you my all. I never want. know your actions, they gon' tell it. You acting childish. No, they don't mean a thing. No, we've been through some things. This shit is bigger than rings. I give up all of the shit for you. I can get you out, I just need a night, get you alone. Notice in the race, you can pick the pace, get you in the zone. Hate it when we fight, but we say goodnight. You're on mine, not for the night, but for life. About to go and got the green light, go. When you touch down, that's no long combo. Fuck the phone, fuck the text, fuck the emails right now. Better talk to me like you mean it. I wanna be
appreciate. I just pick that, turn me on when needs to get that, baby wanna pull the freak out, he say, yo, I see it's big now, that's right, reach down and pull the cash out, make me love you, take it last out, yeah, harness in my head. Want it, spend them bits. Yeah, I'ma take all I can get. That money keeps the pussy wet. Harness in my hand. Want it, spend them bits. Yeah, I'ma take all I can get. That money keeps that pussy wet.
Yeah. Wanna see me drip like a faucet? I could be free, throw it back, let you toss it. Spend a few stacks, keep a bad bitch, jab it. Real nigga. Broke niggas can't catch me. He don't have steps, so we'll call him Big Daddy. If he want the pussy first, he gotta cash at me.
Harness in my hand.
In my
Want it, spend them bits.
Yeah,
I'ma take all I can get. That money keeps
the
pussy.
Tell me how bad do you want
it? That was Jasmine Sullivan with Price Tags off her new album Hotels, which you should definitely check out. I'm such a huge fan of hers. Up next, we got the new record from Zayn called Vibes. Definitely check out his new record that I think drops today.
Don't keep me waiting. I've been waiting all night to get closer. And you already know I got it for ya. You know them vibes, put it on ya. If I move it too fast, we can slow up. Baby, this one from mediocre. We could do, won't tell no lies, no lies to you. I need you here, I need you here. My running wild, we touching slow. Just say the word, I'm ready to go. Anticipation, cause after four, I need you now. Baby, I'ma get you right out here. When I touch you, tell me how it feels. Trust me, I'ma make it feel surreal. Baby, mine, I'ma do all the things, type of things that happen in your dreams.
Yo,
what's cracking, Nez?
Cooler, man. What it do?
Chilling, man. Saturday night, Los Angeles.
What's up, brother?
We at the Silver Lake Pool and Inn, by the pool, not swimming.
Man, this is such a vibe.
But we're enjoying the atmosphere. Nez, how you doing, man? What's your Saturday been like? What you been up to today?
Today was real chill. Just kind of did a little bit of running errands. Was in Beverly Hills. Saw the weird ass Trump rally going on. And
Beverly Hills
just kept it moving, man. Yeah, I didn't do too much today. It was a real chill day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, what's a typical day like for you?
Man, I wake up probably anytime between 9 and 10:30.
Yeah.
Eat some breakfast, and then we just vibe.
Yeah.
Noon vibes.
Yeah.
2 p.m. vibes. 5 o'clock vibes.
Yeah.
Then I try to watch something. I try to wake up and not just go looking at my phone, even though a lot of times I'm a victim.
Yeah, we're human.
To the social media addiction, so yeah. They always get me. But I try to like listen to like a podcast or read a book or just try to get a little bit of information in before I just go straight into like looking at what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably have like a meeting or something. Try to do like random like administrative type work for like my business and try to knock all that out before like 2 o'clock. Then after 2 o'clock,
it's just straight.
It's just creativity. Straight creativity. Yeah, yeah. I try to watch some documentary or something that'll get me inspired. Then I just make music, take breaks from then until the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you the type where you don't really need the inspiration, you just kind of jump in, or do you kind of like to have a little bit of like a kick before you start working?
It depends how I feel. Like sometimes I have days where I'm not really feeling the most inspired, especially in this pandemic, bro.
Yeah.
It's been like crazy. Just trying to pull from, you know, just being in the crib and trying to pull from just being alone has been interesting. It started off kind of cool, but you know, 6 months in, it's like, man, I'm just doing the same things over and over. So it's kind of hard to.
Yeah.
I usually pull from what's going on in life. So I've really just had to open up my imagination and just kind of like challenge myself to listen to music that's outside of the usual like songs I'd go to. I'll try to like, you know, I've been looking at artists that I love and going into like their deep catalogs that,
yeah,
their low key albums and things like that. And then just try to like watch anything else, even this outside of music, like whether it's an art documentary or some architecture shit, some design, anything that's just gonna put me in a different place. So I don't know, it's been crazy. So
yeah,
each day is different, really, to answer your question. Like sometimes I'll feel it, and maybe I might have left the studio with somebody else and I've just been really inspired and I might be feeding off of that energy, or sometimes I'll just be excited and I'll just feel like making something. But a lot of times recently I've just been watching things and just getting inspired off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you definitely started this year off with like a really crazy record banger smash.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, youngster. What like, where did you see 2020 going, and how have you kind of pivoted through all the craziness to still kind of find ways to get music out or just to stay creative? And
bro, I mean, you already know 2020. We talk about this all the time. It started off so lit, bro. Like,
yeah.
I was hot.
Because that song and video.
Oh, my goodness.
Such a crazy combination.
I started this year off so lit. I was making music in and outside of the U.S., hanging with the homies, partying. I was just starting to see, like, the record was starting to heat up a bit, I felt like.
Yeah.
I had, like, really, really good reception. People were, like, really, really feeling the song that I put out. And then probably like a month until of that song being out, when it was time for them to like just shut the whole world down. So it was a little challenging, but I never really get down because I always feel like everything kind of happens for a reason. I just try to find a way to work around it. I think that's the dopest thing about being a creative, is like you can never really take an ill. You just gotta work through it.
Yeah.
So Bobby and I started just planning like an alternative rollout immediately. Like, okay, if this shit stays like this, then we still got to get busy. So
yeah,
let's figure out like COVID safe video shoots, and let's figure out ways that we can kind of keep people intrigued and interested in what's going on until things open back up again. So
yeah,
that's kind of just what we got. We just kind of got into, you know, recovery mode or survival mode or whatever you want to call it. And we just were like, yo, we got to still be bulletproof and still figure this shit out. So
yeah,
I just started making more music and just tried to feel like I wanted to be ready for whatever was to come. So yeah, it was a little bit of a bummer that we couldn't really like go all the way up and continue to build the momentum off that record. But I still feel like, you know, it's still growing and people are still like finding out about the music. You know, me only having 2 songs out and people still caring for this long, I'm already like super appreciative. So
yeah
we just gotta figure it out and go through. Excuse me, I'm gonna get some more wine.
Yeah, no please.
Nice.
Yeah. No, and I really like that about just your personality, because I feel like you're like an energy dude. Like you create energy, you create a vibe, as you say. Like it's almost like it's an on button and you just like, you just go and it's just like you're all day.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Exactly what it is.
I truly feel like you're, because there's different types of producers and artists, and it's like some are just like, everyone has their thing, and I feel like your instrument is like truly your energy.
That's dope.
that's what fuels all your music, and I feel like you can hear it in the music. I was listening to your stuff today, and I feel like the three words that I thought of that made the most sense for me to how to describe your music is just like loud, minimal, and powerful.
That's fire.
I feel like that's like the best. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I love that.
Do you feel like that's kind of intentional?
Yeah, for sure. It's more so because of all of the other artists and musicians and producers before me. Those were three things that were really stood out, and that's what I think attracted me to the music that they were making, was like they were all making stuff that was, I always loved the idea of minimalism and everything, you know, like I definitely am one of those less is more kind of thinkers where I just feel like you can do a lot with a little and just keep things simple but very effective.
Yeah.
And then I grew up on just like rap music and like ghetto house music where everything was real loud, you know. I come from that era of going to parties where you're coming out and your ears are ringing, so
yeah,
I always want to turn my shit up, you know.
And then
it's dope to hear you like break it down like that, because I never necessarily like, I don't necessarily get a chance to like examine my art because I'm just so in it, I'm just making it and it's just me. So to hear someone else kind of like make it, you know, like that is pretty dope.
Do you have like a musical family, or was it something that just kind of came out of like nowhere?
Yeah, I do have a musical family, I'd say. I have a lot of gospel singers in my family.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, like people that traveled with like a lot of the OG legends in the 70s. And then my mother's a really great singer. And my father actually, within the last like decade or so, he kind of just came clean to me and told me he was in a band when he was in high school.
Oh man, so that was super tight.
Do you know the name of the band?
Nah,
I gotta ask him.
But yeah, you definitely gotta find that out.
Little band.
They might low key have some demos floating around. Yeah, to tell you about.
But they are super into all kinds of music. Like they literally played every style of music. I grew up listening to everything.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing that didn't come through the household. If it was good, they listened to it. They weren't like, oh, we just listen to this genre or that. So I grew up hearing a whole bunch of genres. And then I started off, my first like real musical experiences was when I was 8, I was a drummer at my church.
Wow.
And that was like my introduction. And
yeah.
I just came in from the church, and the church was so dope just because that's like the most honest, truest like musical form to me, just because it's just all expression. And it's like I learned like a lot about discipline in a church, you know what I mean? Like I think those things of just like going to practice, whipping people into shape vocally and musically and making sure everything is tight, like I saw that at a very young age.
Yeah.
And improvisation, like learning how to like just take this turn if the organist is going another way and it's time to make like shout music where everybody's like praise dancing and stuff, you gotta just know how to just go with it.
For sure.
And for me to be 8 years old, you know what I mean, learning these things and also learning on the fly and on, you know, just everything's a live performance. It's basically a live performance every Sunday.
Yeah.
So I learned that very, very early. So by the time I really started getting into making music, I already had developed like, I didn't know, I already had like a little bit of muscle memory from just learning all of these different things in the church that I didn't even realize I was learning.
Yeah, and I feel like when you get gospel chops, you have everything, because it's every genre, every like all music in some way, shape, or form is derivative of like gospel music, because rock and roll, R&B, like it all came from that.
Sure,
because
everything is really the blues, so.
Absolutely.
They all came out of the church. So.
Yeah, that's a good nucleus to have as a musician. Well, I'm curious about like what genre do you think spoke to you the most, like that really kind of got you like, I think I want to try. Was it hip hop, or was it house?
It was really funk and R&B.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I was really into, my father used to play a lot of like Cameo, Slave.
Yes.
My mother was really into Parliament. And
hey, shout out your parents.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, man.
They put you on. Yeah,
yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Royal Air. So I was really into that. The first musical piece of music I bought was the White Off the Wall tape. Mm. I used to play that tape, man, out. You would have thought it just came out the way I used to play that tape. Like, I knew that tape so much, and I had such a crazy musical connection with that album. It just really, really, like, had a really, really profound impact on me. Like, there was one song, She's Out of My Life. Like, ooh. I used to cry. I could never play all of it because I would cry. I was a kid. I was probably like 5, 6, bro.
That's crazy.
Like, and I would cry when the song would come on, but because I just felt the emotion in
yeah,
it. And I would, it was weird. And my mother would look at me like, why are you crying? I was like, I was just oh, bro, like
music's hitting, man.
I mean, that's hitting. I mean, I feel like that's like mission accomplished because I feel like that's what the record is intended
it's supposed to
do.
To move you.
Yeah, so it's like really.
You know, Michael was crying when he was making that for sure.
Man, for real. So it's like like a lot of 80s pop, funk, R&B was really my first. It was really my first introduction into. You know, the idea of me wanting to make music. Like Michael Jackson was really somebody that was like, no, I want to do that. And I knew from then on, I want to do this.
But I've got to say, it's the same old story about somebody with a dream. Looking for the glory, no matter how far the future seems. You've got stars in your eyes. There's a whole world out there for you.
You've got stars
in your eyes. What are you gonna do?
You've got
stars in your eyes. There's a whole world out there for you. Yeah, baby.
Cool, because even like listening to like the R&B record you've made, it's like I can hear like a different side of your production kind of come out when you do that.
Yeah,
which is cool. Is that like a genre you want to touch a bit more in the future?
Yeah, for sure. Like I have a lot more R&B stuff coming out, and even with my music, there's another side to my own music where I have a lot of R&B influenced stuff.
Yeah,
like
I love those records too.
Yeah, thank you. But it's like.
melody to me is just like forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's two things I think people just always want to do is they want to hear melody and they want to dance. Like,
yep.
Melody is like you can just feel, and the way you can just curve words and emotions and translate, you know. That girl that broke up with her dude is going to listen to the same song every day until she gets out of that rut. Like, that dude who going through this is going to listen to that same song. Like, that hits different. You know what I mean? Like, I love rap. You know, of course, like, that was my start in, like, the music industry. But R&B is, like, one of my top favorite genres.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because it's so vast. And, I mean, old school R&B to new school R&B, like, there's just so many styles and so many ways of marrying different genres, but within this one style is like is dope to me.
Tell me about how the Wild Youngster record came about, like just from inception, like how did Schoolboy Q get involved, just the whole story of the record.
Alright, it's a bit. So I've been playing with this style. Let's see. I made Wild Youngster in 2017, bro. Wow. I sat on that record for 3 years.
Wow.
I have been playing with this style. In my head, I just felt like we needed like a harder, cooler dance music. Like, I kind of hated the fact that like house and techno and all this dance music kind of got thrown under the EDM umbrella.
Yeah.
And I would go to these festivals and I'm seeing these shows and I'm just like, man, this shit kind of corny. But I always felt like this world is so big. And my uncle, he's an old house head. He was an old house DJ in the 80s. He was like, yo. He just sat me down and he made it so simple and plain to me. I was just like, that's facts. He said, you know, the reason why people love that Four to the Floor, EDM and all that stuff is like, it's universal. Everyone can, there. You can't mess up in terms of dancing to it. Everybody can catch that rhythm.
Yeah, it's like a heartbeat.
That's like, exactly. Like, everybody can catch that. Everybody's on that frequency. So it's worldwide. And I tucked that, and I was like, you're right. But I felt like, you know, some cool stuff out there. I like K. Tronada.
Yeah.
I like what some of the Soul Action guys are doing. Some of the OGs have definitely, like, laid a nice ground. But I felt like there was just another space to truly bridge the gap with, like, the people that I rock with and, like, where I was going. So I'm, all right. Fast forward to Wild Youngster. Sorry, I'm a little long-winded.
No. I like it. No, we want all that. Yeah.
So, all right, I'm playing with this style. I do one record, and I was trying to get at the sound of Wild Youngster, but it just didn't hit. I tried to land some on it. Then I was messing around with this with some drums, like a drum loop. And then I laid like a vocal chop over it, but it was just myself going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And then I looped that, and then I put like a synth over it. It was just a bass line, but it was hard. That's the bass line you hear in Wild Youngster, yeah, the main group, right? And I knew I had something. Laid the idea down. Sat on it for a little bit. This time, we're working with Q for his last album. So we're sessions for his last album. So my intentions was just to play the song for Q just to see what he thought. Like, do you think it's dope? Like, I just want to get his opinion. I had never played any of my artist stuff for him.
For sure.
So I go to the studio one day, and this, I remember it because it was Valentine's Day. I was in the studio. And I'm engaged, by the way. So she was my girl at the time. So that's already another story. In the studio, Valentine's Day.
I'm grinding, baby.
Yeah.
So I'm in the studio. A lot of TDs in there. We just cooling. And I'm like, yo, we taking a little break. I'm like, yo, okay, I want to play you some of my artist shit. I could tell he was just like, you my homie, I'm going to let you press play. You know what I'm saying?
It's cool. He's like, oh,
you know, all right, he's like, here we go. Right. You know, yeah. I can tell that type of vibe. I press play on one song. He like, that's hard. I press play on another song.
He's like, what?
He's like, that's hard. Then I press play on Wild Youngster. He get up, he stops it. After I play, he stops it. He said, play that, run that back. Play it again.
When you hear that, you know.
He like, all right, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get on this. I'm going to give you a verse, and you're going to give me a joint, and that's how we're going to do this. He said, I'm getting on this right now, though. play it. He literally sat there and wrote his verse in 10-15 minutes.
Incredible.
I'm not playing.
That's incredible.
Everything you hear on there, he just wrote it right then there, right in front of my face. Sheesh. He's like, what you think of this? Spit it to me. We rearranged the record so he could have his verses in there. Beefed it up a little bit. That record was... Whew. Now, mind you, because I'm doing a swap, how it works in the music business when you don't have really a high budget, because the Schoolboy Q verse is not cheap. So I don't have any money at this time, so I have to basically do a swap. So I give you a beat free of charge, and that's something I have a value in at the time, and he gives me a verse. So I have to wait until he's putting his album out to even, like, figure out when I could put my song.
Yeah. In. Okay. So
anybody who's been around Q, it takes him two years. Usually it takes him around two years to do an album. So here we are, it's 2017, February, the beginning of 2017. I sit on the record. His album doesn't come out till 2019, end of 2019. So now, mid 2019 his album dropped. So now I'm figuring out, like, how I'm gonna put the song out. I need to get, like, the funding together. I need to get everything together. And then we just decide, like, all right, let's just drop it at the top of the year, start the year off booming. We shoot the video late 2019.
Yeah, like that fall.
Yeah.
That fall, yeah.
We shot the video in the fall. That process was crazy. Went through a bunch of directors. They were flaking. Me and Bobby was just
as
like,
they sometimes do.
Yeah, man. We just couldn't figure it out. Like, people just weren't taking it as seriously. I don't think people realize how much of a
we were pressed to get it done.
Yeah. So one day I just called Bobby, like, yo, I'm gonna direct the video, G. He like,
I was like, how is you coming right
down.
Now, bro?
Slow down, young
son. Wait a second.
Then we start kicking our ideas back and forth, and we just both come to the conclusion, like, yeah, this can work.
Yeah.
Kept it real simple. We just literally called in favors. All the homies came through.
2 weeks before we shot the video.
Literally.
That's crazy.
Maybe less than that. Yep. Maybe like a week.
It was like a week, yeah, because the other director dropped out literally as we were supposed to do a walkthrough of the venue.
That's what happened.
So once the director dropped out, we just had to pick up the pieces and just figure it out.
Yeah. You would never know from looking at the video that it's like it's kind of like a happy accident in a way.
Yeah.
But because it's good. It's like, I think sometimes when directing, especially like a video of that style of music, it's like you can overthink, but like sometimes the energy is truly all you need to create something that is going to reach people. And like watching that just took me back to like old Bad Boy videos. Like, I just felt like, let's get it, special delivery, like all the Bad Boy videos in the 90s, like, just because it was just energy.
Yeah.
Energy was the whole spirit of the video.
Yeah. That's fire.
And it worked out so great. What was the experience like directing, and is it something that you think you want to do more of?
Yep. I love directing.
Yeah.
Directing was really, really fun. I didn't realize I was going to enjoy it that much because I was really doing it out of necessity, and I was just excited about making a moment. But once the day started, and I don't know, I just kind of just fell into it.
Snapped right into it. It was crazy.
It was just like...
It was actually really impressive, man. I didn't even know he had it in him. The whole week leading up to it, I'm like, man, all right, Nez is going to direct
work?
It. Like I knew, you know, like, Nez has good taste. I knew that it was going to work in some form or fashion. But to just step into the moment and just... put it all out there, like, all right, we got to do this, we got to do this, this shot, that shot. He was literally directing everybody. We were just pulling everything together, props, production, everything, just boom, 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 boom. You know, and then once the tone was set, everything just, like, fell into place so organically, you know? Like, there wasn't one problem that day, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fact.
And it was a one-day shoot.
Yeah, one-day shoot.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done it without Bobito, though, man. We really, like, came together on that one, like... We figured that joint out from top to bottom. Like, yo, let's pull these people.
Yeah.
He's pulling looks with the stylist. And, all right, we get these girls, bring these girls, this, this, and this. Like, we were just really, really, we really figured it out. And I think we learned a lot from that experience, too.
Yeah.
Where it was like, man, you know, I think it kind of boosts both of our confidence that
we can
really, really, really run our own show.
When you execute an idea from inception to completion, it just brings out something new in you that's just like, oh, Mm-hmm. Well, if I can do that, then maybe I can do this too.
Exactly.
And do that.
Exactly.
It's incredible. And you guys can both answer this question. How important is visual aesthetic to a music artist's career, and how does it inform the music and vice versa?
I think it's the most important now with YouTube and social media. It's always been important, but I think it's even more important now to make sure that the music and the visuals align, because that's really how I fall in love with artists.
Yeah.
The first thing I do when I hear about a new artist is I'll go to one of the DSPs, Spotify, Apple, Tidal, whatever, and then I'll go to YouTube, or I might even start at YouTube and just see who is this artist like. You know, I think of all the artists and all the people that had like really, really moments, and I felt like they had like really, really crazy followings. TDE, and I'm talking like newer like rappers and stuff, like TDE, iFuture, ASAP. It was the visuals that really brought you in. You know what I mean? Like when you see Yonkers, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That fucks you up.
It just pulls you. It pulls you in.
It. You know what I mean? Like it's more powerful with the music and the visual because you really understand how an artist is coming. So you get a chance to see and learn so much about an artist in 2-3 minutes time. That's powerful. You know what I mean? So it's like it's that much more important to make sure that your visual is really on point, because to me that can make or break you, in my opinion. It's like, oh man, if the song is dope and the music video is dope, the music video can take you to another level.
Yeah. I think the goal was, Nez said something right before we shot the video. He was like, we have to stunt on ourselves. So we have to like completely outdo ourselves with what we expect, you know, like what our best could be. You have to kind of like surprise ourselves, like, wow, we made that. And so, you know, like at the end of the day, you want to be taken seriously. And we know the creators that we look up to, and we know the level of work that they're able to put out. And so we're always measuring our work against what we think like the standard is. And, you know, out the gate, you might not always get there. You know, like your execution or your product might not match your taste level at first. But as long as you're pushing and driving to get it to match as much as possible, I think in the end, you'll always win.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I love that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the song and the video came out at the same time. Like, the first impression was the video.
Yep,
sure was.
And I love, like, getting music like that just reminds me of like MTV heyday, when you'd wake up in the morning and you'd turn on MTV, and you see like the new. That's how I found out about Rockstar from NERD. Like, all these records that I love so much. It's like, there's something that you get from getting a video and song at the same time that's just like, it's just the perfect mix of mediums.
Yeah.
Like audio and visual it's a marriage that like, it's so important that they go together.
And it was important for everyone to see Nez's personality.
Yeah, for sure.
Too, you know what I mean?
And it's important too, because it's a dance record.
So exactly,
it's like,
yeah.
you want to see how people are moving to it.
Right.
So you kind of know how to move to it too.
Turn this one up. This is Wild Youngster by Nez.
Look at me. Look at me. You can probably run the whole world, what you gonna say? That's all I'm gonna say. Take it off, take it off. In the back of the bar. In the mouth, it's so crazy.
Never in the same thing twice, nigga. Tryna get a thing, thing like nigga. How I get the big crib price, nigga. Whoa. Wonder what the BMs feel like, nigga. Whoa. Then I come again like crash, nigga. Whoa. So many girls in it, girls in it.
So many girls up in here. Bring one, got me half a knee. I'm back to my bed. You a wild youngster, a wild youngster. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't.
Head give me chills, baby. Jumping out of rows. Running through the mall. Sliding in it, sliding in it. Up a mouse with it, dive in it. Too cool with it, get the gram off your nose. I could be a fool with it, going down with your clothes, nigga. Know that pussy made it go, baby. Tell me how the bread going off, baby. Young nigga ballin' with a car, baby. I can see your thing through them shorts, baby. We can get it in, boyfriend, baby. No, wanna bring your friend for the win, baby. Running through your chin, let it bend, baby. So many girls in it, girls in it.
So many girls in it.
You're like his creative director, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What's that kind of like back and forth like? Like, how do you guys work on projects? Like, what's the formula?
Well, we always kind of like, we have this inside joke that we've been sitting on ideas for so long that we just forget about them, and then we'll come up with new ideas, and then it'll be the exact same idea we had 2 years ago.
Just maybe like a refined version.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess we just ping pong ideas and inspiration back and forth. And I come from advertising background originally. So I'm always thinking in things in the sense of how is the message going to come across to people? How can we affect people? So I'll send him something like a book or like a song or like a video or image or whatever. And then he'll respond, and then we'll just ping pong ideas for days, just going back and forth, back and forth. And then eventually we'll just arrive at something that we think is cool, and we'll just go about executing it. But we always try to, we always try to think about the idea that will last the longest. We don't want to do anything that comes across as like quick or easy. You know, we always want to challenge ourselves and always, you know, challenge the audience and the listener, because we want to make things that'll stand the test of time. You know, 4 or 5 years, 10 years from now, you look at an artwork or the photo shoot, even when you hear the music, we just want it to be timeless.
Yeah. And I feel like that intention in itself is truly what powers timeless things.
Yeah.
Most timeless things are kind of intentional.
Like, absolutely.
Like Michael Jackson definitely was just like, yo, I'm trying to make the biggest fucking album ever with Thriller. And he did. And he did it.
And he did it.
Yeah. Bobby gave me this question earlier, and but I want to ask the both of you the question, because okay. I know you kind of make music too, Bobby. If you could rescore one film, what would the film be, and how do you think you would approach scoring the movie? Like, what would it sound like?
The original Ocean's 11.
Wow.
That's fire.
I would love to hear a Nez score
for
Ocean's 11. How do you think it would sound, though? Would it be a lot more beat driven, or you think it would be a lot more like?
It would be like the score, but it would be a little more funky.
Yeah.
Like, I love Henry Mancini.
Oh, he's incredible.
Like, he's one of my favorite
truly
composers. I believe his name is Michel Legrand. He's really dope too. So I love, and then of course Quincy Jones is
the king.
Beast mode. So I think I would still do it in a somewhat of a traditional way, but my take on it. So it would be a little funkier, maybe a little darker, but still still a nice composition. Yeah. This is one of my favorite movies, and I would just...
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, man.
How about you, Bobby? What you think?
Matrix.
Okay, I like that.
Matrix, man. The first time I saw Matrix, I was on the edge of my seat the entire movie, and I couldn't believe what was going on. And I listened to drum and bass, heavy drum and bass, heavy techno, like heyday drum and bass, mid-90s. A lot of techno, a lot of house, a lot of minimal, like dirty house music. And I would love to soundtrack those fight scenes.
Oh, yeah.
To like breakbeat, jungle,
see,
drum and bass.
I was thinking that too. Like sometimes I'll watch fight scenes and you don't see a lot of fight scenes with like drum and bass. Like,
yeah.
But it seems like it's the perfect marriage. Like,
I think so, man. Drum and bass is such a... It's violent in the percussion and the drums and the speed of it, but the melodies that sit over it and the samples that are used, a lot of it, you know, is sample science fiction. So you'll listen to like, there's this drum and bass duo called Source Direct, Phil and Jim Aslett, and they came out the gate sampling like Dune, like David Lynch's Dune.
Wow.
Or you'll hear like Alien, like vocal chops. And they'll, there's one track that they have where they sampled, like, it's like a 4 second sample in Blade Runner, but probably be the other movie actually. They sampled a loop in Blade Runner in the middle of the movie. It's 4 seconds long. And I was listening to the song and I'm like, I know this intro, like, I know this song, like, where is it from? And they've been sampling in the music because drum and bass is very cinematic. It's very beautiful but violent music. So, I'll just put it out in the atmosphere. I'm going to soundtrack a movie.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
And I really want to work with like my favorite producers
through
drum and bass and techno house that I love. I would love to be able to work with them to score a movie, because that genre is probably, to me, the most cinematic of all genres. Like it creates a vision for you. And that's the music that I listen to when I work, because I can just see it, you know?
Yeah, it's visual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all had some great answers.
Yeah, that was hard.
So, Nez, out of the records you've been a part of thus far, which one would you say is like a really good, like, if I'm just like getting into Nez as a producer, like what song would be the first one that you play for somebody if you're like introducing yourself to them?
That's a hard question. I would probably play...
I know which one I'd play, but you could tell
me. I would probably play my most recent music
for my own,
because that's just where I am musically. I love everything that I've produced, but I'm also tired of those records.
I feel you.
So
it's even when people, it's so funny because, you know, a lot of times when people introduce you, they want to kind of like, and they don't, it ain't no disrespect, but it's like when people.
You get pigeonholed, like,
pretty quick. Yeah, it's like, oh man, this is my boy Nez. Yeah, he made this for this and that. And it's like, man, I'm more than these two records, bro.
It's like, oh, I want that. Give me one of those.
Yeah, but now it's kind of dope because now a lot of times people lead off with my artist music. So it's kind of dope now.
Which is, yeah, which is a better, like, explanation of.
Yeah, I fuck with that.
Because I truly feel like Work and Wild Youngster are, like, those are just, it's a continuation of that, of those three words.
Yeah.
But it's, I will say that as a producer, Nez the producer, I would definitely say that Man of the Year and Lord Pretty Flacco Jody 2 are just, like, really, really good, like, okay. This is what this guy can do.
Yeah.
But then, like, I feel like you put those two together, you play Wild Youngster and Work. Mm-hmm. I think most people would just be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is what you do? Like,
yeah.
It's.
Yeah.
Because those are four powerful ass songs. And as a DJ, each song, like, I haven't played Work yet in the DJ set, but I can't wait to. But I definitely played Wild Youngster. I definitely played Lord Pretty Flacco Jody and Man of the Year a lot.
Yeah.
And the reactions are always. Like, it's immediate dancing, for sure. And just like, yo, what is this?
That's fire.
Like, especially the Wild Youngster one. She's like, yo, what is this?
Yeah.
You have to move when you hear Wild Youngster.
You have to.
You have to.
That's, movement is a big part of your music, which I really love. Where are you going next career-wise? Like, what can we expect going forward for Nez?
So I got an EP coming out 2021. Gearing up for that. I got dropping a bunch of singles. Got a few remixes. Some cool DJs have remixed Wild Youngster.
Oh, sick. Oh, yeah. Can't wait to hear that.
So the remix of that will be dropping in January. But then I've also been still producing and writing, too. So, of course, a lot of the usual suspects. I'm still working with them on their new stuff. I don't want to speak on too much because I know they like to keep it real tucked. But I'm also pretty excited about this new Kelly Rowland record that I got coming out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's big such record. A different sound than either of us have ever done. And I kind of had to step back and be like, yo, I just produced for Kelly Rowland. Like, that's fire.
It's incredible.
And that's going to be dope because I feel like it's going to open me up to a new audience.
Yeah.
And I think even like the sound is very much connected into the sound that I'm creating in general and just working on. Like, I really feel like I'm developing a new sound in general.
Yeah.
And for her to be one of the first artists in that realm is really cool, along with a lot of new artists like Connie Constance. I've been working closely with her. She's from the UK. She's fire. Yeah. She put out a song recently. And
love Connie.
Yeah, there's a bunch of artists that I've just been working with that are either like new, up and coming, but super dope. And then like a few bigger names that are going to be coming out that I'm really excited for. So 2021 is crazy.
Yeah. It's cool because I feel like hip hop was like your, it's like you stepping in the house and like wiping your foot on the rug. And I feel like R&B music and dance music is like where you're really going to make your statement in music. I feel like you already are.
I love that. Yeah. I hope so. That's the plan for sure.
That's a fire analogy.
Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You've been in a lot of studio sessions, I imagine. From what you can actually talk about, what's your favorite like studio story that you've experienced thus far?
Being in with Q is always, because he's a nut.
Yeah,
he's
hilarious.
That dude is crazy.
He's funny as hell.
So being in with Q is always fun. And being in with Rocky is always fun, too. Those two are like my musical cousins, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like family. So I like being in with those dudes is pretty dope. I like working with everybody, of course, but Rocky is always like almost a party.
Yeah.
And then with Q is just this go around, just me just kind of just seeing how he's working, and he's in such a dope space musically, and he's just having fun. Like, he's really having fun with it. So that's been pretty dope. I think being in there with him is hilarious because he's just nonstop jokes. It's like almost being in like,
nonstop jokes.
Yeah, like elementary school or some shit, and you just in class with your homies that you know you just gonna get in trouble with because you just keep cracking jokes and laughing at everything.
Yeah,
That's how it be.
It's like, bro, stop making me laugh. You're about to get me in trouble. Stop.
That dude's crazy. He a fool.
And most of your musical connections and people that you end up working with, does that usually come about through, like, you meet the person, or is some of this, like, kind of like the label introduces you, or, like, how does that typically work with collaborations?
95% of the artists that I've come into contact with have been through just me seeking people out, or just, like, really organic, just right place, right time kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's been a few artists that I've met through, like, a company, like a pub company or a label. But a lot of those artists are, like, more of the, like, newer up-and-coming artists. But in terms of, like, everybody that I've... Most of the biggest names that I'm known for now have all been through just very organic, like, my network, meeting people through friends of friends and things like that. Like, I met Q through Kendrick, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. I met Q through Kendrick. And they were just in Chicago at the same time, before they really took off. So I was just in with them real early. And then I met Rocky through Q at South by Southwest. And at this time, Rocky had already rapped over something I made with Q on his first album.
Oh, wow.
So he was like, oh, you did? Oh, hell yeah, put your number on my phone. I could tell he was really on it because he made sure, like, I had his number. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was like.
It's like, yo, I need that.
No, for real. You, yeah, it's that's like, that shit.
Yeah. Who the jiggy nigga with the gold links? Got me reminiscing about my old day. 3-6 sucker nigga dick, no foreplay. All day booming out the trap through the hallway. Tell me what you niggas know about. Auntie saying turn it down, or she finna call the cops. We been plotting on the opps, she the one who got the drop. Just a free quick fix of the, and it's okay. They gon' take me back to my old ways. I was tryna chill, pop the sales up, but since I got a deal. Kick it with my model chick, tick crits, fuck niggas wanna diss. Now I gotta let them know it's really true. Lord, pretty Flacco Jordy. Tell these fuck niggas how you been. Crush them out, my niggas talk down every now and then. On the south, give them style, 9 times out of 10. Flacco, Jordy, Jordy, Flacco, Jordy, Flacco, Jordy, Flacco, Jordy.
Yeah. Rusty girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. It's a party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met man of the bounce. Rusty girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. It's a party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met man of the bounce. Rusty girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. It's a party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met man of the bounce. Home of the party in the trees. Sunny lit land of the G's. Please let a nigga breathe. Tank top, top down for the breeze. Burnt lips, got a blunt full of weed. Peace, love, enemies. Nigga, I ain't come for the beef. You ain't know she came for the seat. Got bite for the cheeks. Nigga, I'm the life for the beef. Fuck that, this year gotta eat. Bop, bounce for the crown. You be hating and I still hold it down. When you round, man, the girls never lounge. Man, I heard you a hound. Bruh, man, that bitch need a pound. Tip, 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 bounce out of gown. Hands high to the sound. Yeah, I'm the rich nigga now. Bitch, I'm the talk of the town. Make a bitch run a mouth. Yeah, go south for the boy. Pop, pop, pop down to the floor. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Yeah. Rusty girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. It's a party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met man of the bounce. Rusty girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. It's a party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met man of the bounce. Rusty girls everywhere. Titty ass hands in the air. It's a party over here. Shaking for the man of the year. Met man of the year. Met
what's like a dream collaboration? Like, what's a collaboration that you really want to happen that, like, hasn't happened yet? Let's put it out into the universe today.
Bjork.
Woo! Oh, I like that.
I want to work with Bjork.
Yeah. That would be fun. I would love to hear.
That's going
to
happen.
Bjork and D'Angelo.
That's going to
happen. D'Angelo. I would love to hear D'Angelo do some, like, do some dance music. Like, yes. That would be incredible.
A lot of people don't realize D'Angelo's a Prince fan, so it's like, he got it in him.
Yeah, he definitely has it in him.
He has it
in him. And he definitely makes records that you can dance to.
Absolutely.
Like, to just go full on, just like crazy, big-ass drums.
Yeah, funk, electronic. I'd like to give him
that. Would be amazing.
Other shit. It would be dope. But yeah, those two. I mean, I want to work with everybody for sure, but the aliens, man. Anybody that's an alien.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And I always like, there are a bunch of people in my peer group too that I haven't worked with yet that I would like to work with. But those two would just be like a dream come true type shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Bobby? What's a dream collab for you? In any medium. It could be music, it could be fashion, like.
Oh man. There's a lot of photographers that I want to work with. There's designers I would love to work with, and artists. I really want to work with. There's a graphic designer named Braulio Amato. I really, really, really want to work with him. He's almost like a surrealist graphic designer, but a lot of his graphics are in 2D. They're very gritty and just. Whenever I'm making something, I always check out some of the work he's done. He would do a lot of flyers for bars in New York.
Yeah,
he's done a lot of work for a lot of musicians. I would absolutely love to work with him on a project for sure. My goodness, who else would I love to work with? I think. David Rudnick. I think he's the best graphic designer I've ever seen. So David Rudnick has done graphic work for Clouds, this techno based this techno artist. I think they're based in Europe, and he over delivers on everything that he does. And he also did One Thrix Point Never's rollout. I think that was maybe 3 years ago. And that was probably the dopest shit I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, like those two graphic designers are just like, just out of this world. I think they're insane.
And I feel like you get a lot of your, you get a lot of aesthetic inspiration from, like rave culture and like electronic, music design and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What is it about that world that inspires some of your work?
Oh man, I just wish I was there, man. Like, I wish I could just.
It's the FOMO that does it.
It's the FOMO. I'm a huge nerd for understanding how music, especially in black spaces, came about. There's these two famous legend DJs out of UK, Fabio and Groove Rider. They're both black, and they came up through this party called Rage in London, and that's like how they birthed like jungle and drum and bass,
really?
And like spread it through underground culture.
Okay, yeah.
And they ended up linking with like other huge DJs like Goldie. You know, he threw a party called Blue Note. At this club, I think it's in Hoxton Square in London. And those parties were just like Bjork would be there, like Naomi Campbell would be there, Sting would be, you know what I mean? Like, this is like mid 90s, the birth of a new genre of music. And you hear all these stories about these producers who would go hang out in the parties and just absorb the music, you know what I mean? And they would leave the club after like a record was like Goldie would break a new Bookham record or Source Direct record or Dillinger record, and like you would leave and go home and work on a new record, and like the next week you would show up.
You would show up, yeah.
You would try to outdo them. So there was like this crazy competition of who can make the most, who can create the best art. It was about being original. And I think, you know, any artist, their true intention is to want to be recognized as original. Because once you make something that's truly yours, you know, I think that's like, that's just self-actualization, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, rave culture is just so sick. I'm just such a huge fan of the music, you know?
Yeah. It's
probably all I listen to. is like.
And you feel like the sometimes like the context and the story behind the art is almost as important as the art itself.
Yeah, definitely. And like I'll listen to a record, and then I'll go back and read interviews about how the record was made.
Same, yeah, I love doing that.
And it just adds to the nostalgia of what you're listening to. There's this funny interview with Source Direct, and they're not from London. I think they're from, they're outside. They're like maybe Birmingham, but it's just them two in their city, and they would drive like you have to drive 2 hours to get to the rave. But they were like, yeah, like we just sit in our house, like everybody around here is not about the sound. You know what I mean? Like we go to school and all they want to listen to is like top 40. We're not into that. We want to make dirty shit. So we go to my house, listen to music on blast in our headphones. So our ears ring. We drive around our Beamers and blast it.
Oh, my God.
And go to the party. We would just pull up these records.
That's the energy, man.
That's the energy.
That's the energy.
So it's just like, how can I outdo myself? How can I make something that's just way far out? And then who's going to latch onto it? So when I'm working on projects with Nez or anything, I'm always asking, like, how can we maximize and just do something outside of the box?
Yeah.
That'll translate well with what we're trying to do and, like, really push us into, you know, a new space.
Yeah. That's why I love you guys, because the both of you are just, like, you're, like, historians in your own right. And, like,
yeah.
And I feel like you kind of have to be to, like, to find something that's going to be effective for the future.
Yeah, for sure.
It's knowing what came before you that was effective, that was really effective.
Yeah.
And knowing like the context behind it. That's like,
you're a music historian. You and Nez, when I listen to y'all talk about music, I just sit down. I just listen. I'm just like, Jesus, this is crazy. Because y'all know like where drummers, what bands they went to, where they came from, who they came up under, who were their mentors. I'm just like, I mean, I have no idea.
There's surely nothing more fun for me than just like learning. And then, like, finding someone else who's learned too.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, nerding out with them. It's just like, you know about that too. And that too. It's just like, you go down a rabbit hole, it'll be 2 hours of passing. You're just, like, talking about one fucking band or some shit.
Yeah.
That's facts.
But with talking about that, before I let you guys go,
yeah.
I'm curious about, for the both of you, what is maybe one song or one album that has kind of been getting you through these last few months of quarantine? Like, what's really been, like, getting you going musically?
Been a playlist for me of
what's in the playlist.
There's this Brazilian producer named Coastream. He's been gone for like 2 years. He hasn't put anything new out, but he makes like dirty minimal techno. And the YouTube algorithm, I don't know what's happened over the past few years, but their shit is,
it has improved a lot.
Yes, it is hard.
So it'll pull together all the Coastream songs. And then it'll pull me into, like, all the drum and bass that I like. So, like, Fotech, LTJ Bookham. It'll just pull me into this world of, like, just immersed mid-90s drum and bass. And Jungle. Head High. Shed Head High. Clouds. But it's just this one massive playlist that I have. Oh, Mall Grab for sure.
Yeah.
It's just this massive playlist that I've been listening to.
I love it. Yeah. So you've been going down the rabbit hole, I can tell. I love the rabbit hole. Is so much fun.
Way down the rabbit hole. Discovering. And labels I follow too. I follow a lot of labels. Lobster Theorem.
Got you.
For sure. They're always making, they put out so many releases. Askith.
Yeah.
I
hope y'all are writing this down if you're listening to it. I hope y'all are writing this shit down.
Straight heat.
Yeah. Just straight heat. Anything that just gets me to forget about what's going on and provides like a vision for me to create too.
Yeah. How about you, Nez? What's been inspiring you lately?
A lot of old school house, techno, early, mid-80s, late-80s, acid.
Could you pinpoint like a record or like an album that you think you've been coming back to a lot lately?
Mr. Fingers.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Omar S.
A lot of Omar S.
Omar S. record that was crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna look
Omar
that up.
Omar S. last album was crazy. Yeah. So like I guess it's a lot of old school and new school, house techno, a lot of Prince, a lot of Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Music we want to hear in a party. 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 Party.
Memories so good. Memories so good. Memories so good. It takes my breath away. I feel the force of the waves breaking. Now that I can reach, time to pull me in.
dancing around. I'm sick of playing silly games. Tell me, am I the type you go for? Am I just wasting my time? Should I carry on or should I say no more? All of the things running through my mind. Oh, tell me, tell me, baby. Oh, tell me, baby.
Oh,
But don't worry, don't panic. Ain't nothing going on but history, yeah. But it's alright, don't panic. And the music keeps on playing on and on. And the music keeps on playing on and on.
When the crowd say ball, 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 three, one. When the crowd say ball, selector, three, one. When the crowd say ball, selector, three, one. When the crowd say ball, selector, three, one. This goes out to all the people.
All your girls too fine. All that glitz and glam must take some time. Call up, I'll follow through on my. Northeast girl, oh my. Graduate from Ivy League, that's why. She keep her head screwed on so tight, yeah. Got me running back to you, no control. Control, control. Got me running back to you, no control. Control, control. Back to you. Back to you, back to you, no control, control, control. Got what you require, I know what you like, your style attire. Call up, I'll show you what's on my end. Main Street girl, oh my. Moved out to the west side for a while. Caught up, I'll show you what's on my end. Got me running back to you, no control, control.
And I love coming around you, like when you're playing just whatever gets you going, because I always find at least one new record to take home with me, which I love.
That's fire. Yeah, yeah. I just keep the. I try to keep my playlist on shuffle and let it just do its thing. Yeah. I think I've whipped my algorithms into shape. So like,
his algorithm is crazy. I'll be in a car with Nez. I have my phone out the entire time. She's jamming everything. I'm like, what is that? What is this? It's crazy.
And you know what? It's like, it's interesting kind of seeing what algorithms do, because it just like, it gives me, as a DJ, it gives me more fuel to be a bit more bold with like, oh, you can play this song and then play that song right after. Yeah. And it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to feel good.
Yep.
Yeah. One thing that I do is if I'm listening to a song on YouTube, your YouTube has everything. It's just because the community of people who upload records.
YouTube has a lot of rare-ass records.
A lot of rare records. And then you go to the comment section.
Yeah.
And there's always that one person who's like, such and such brought me here. And then you go to that person's page or like see.
And then you'll see what they have.
And then you go to that comment section and then it's just, there's a track list if it's a mix. Like someone, some angel will post a track list and you're like, thank God.
Yeah.
And then you just discover and discover and discover. And by the end of the day, you might spend an hour digging through music. You got 20 new artists, songs that are just like, that you've never thought you would ever hear. And you're just like, I'm so glad I found this. 400 plays on YouTube. Yeah. Nobody else has heard this.
It's a fun way to dig. And it's like, because even though, I mean, vinyl sales are like crazier than they've ever been.
Yeah.
But it's like still for some reason, vinyl stores are still closing.
Yeah.
So it's like the YouTubes of the world are becoming more and more like useful as ways to find rare records.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting but really cool thing, because it's just like, well, shit, I can just be on my computer for like 4 hours straight and find a gang of records that will have a bunch of people like, where'd you get that? What is this? But that's fun, man. I could really talk to you guys for like 5 hours. And I mean, there have been times that I have. But thank you guys for coming to hang.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This is
fire. We got to do this again.
We're definitely doing it again.
It's like a fireside chat.
When the EP when the EP drops, we're running right back.
That's so. Facts.
But Nez, Bobby, appreciate y'all so much.
Thank you, Free.
This is Yeah Free Radio. We are signing out. Good night.
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah, Free Radio.
Want to give a very big thank you to Nez and to Bob for joining me on the show today. Nez is definitely my artist to watch for 2021. I'm looking for a big year from him and looking for a big career from him as an artist. I truly believe that he's going to be something special. I think he already is. And I hope that you, after this conversation, feel the same way. Anywho, thank you guys for tuning in. This has been episode 4 of Yeah Free Radio. I'm going to leave you guys with a record that always puts me in a really good place. And it's from an artist that I admire and adore so much. And we lost her way too early. Her name is Minnie Riperton. And this record is called Perfect Angel, produced by my idol, my guy, Stevie Wonder. Please enjoy and have a safe and lovely and happy weekend. Peace.
What we're making is history, fooling impossibility, making love not a fantasy. Love is true, love is you. Making storybook dreams come true, feeling just enough love for two. There's such magic in being with you, 'cause it's true, loving you. Go seek, kissing.
under the apple tree. Who could tell me that this would bring me to you, you to me, yeah. Since the start, you have been my life, giving infinite paradise. Every night I wanna thank him twice for your love, your sweet. Thank you.